The triumph of germ theory. In 1911, the Supreme Court ruled that Standard Oil constituted an unreasonable monopoly and splintered the behemoth into 34 companies that became ExxonMobil, Chevron, Amoco, Marathon, and others. Ironically, the breakup increased rather than diminished Rockefeller's personal wealth. Rockefeller donated an additional $100 million from that windfall to his philanthropic front group, the General Education Board, to cement the streamlining and homogenization of medical schools and hospitals. Now listen to this. So John D. Rockefeller, not exactly a friend of humanity, wanted to cement the streamlining and homogenization of medical schools and hospitals. This, by the way, is the triumph of allopathic versus homeopathic and other pathic approaches to medicine in this country. It was John D. Rockefeller. In accordance with the pharmaceutical paradigm, he simultaneously provided large grants to scientists for identifying the active chemicals in disease-curing plants utilized by the traditional doctors whom he had extirpated. Rockefeller chemists then synthesized and patented petrochemical versions of those molecules. The foundation's philosophy of a pill for an ill shaped how Americans came to view healthcare. In 1913, the patriarch founded the American Cancer Society and incorporated the Rockefeller Foundation. Philanthropic foundations were an innovation of the era, and detractors criticized as tax evasion Rockefeller's scheme to take a $56 million deduction on his donation of 72,569 shares of Standard Oil to launch a foundation that would give him a perpetual control of that donated wealth. So this is what Bill Gates would later call philanthrocapitalism. It's making money off of your philanthropy. And Bill Gates did it, but he learned it from John G. Rockefeller. John Rockefeller started this. He created the mold, and this was how he both cleaned up his personal reputation and became from this thieving robber baron, this nasty oil baron who was a merciless money grubber, to a great friend of humanity, this wonderful humanitarian. And he spent a lot of money on PR in order to get this reputation. But notice what he did. They altered the landscape of American healthcare. They suppressed certain approaches to health that weren't considered orthodox to them. And they figured out how to chemically synthesize, using, of course, chemists employed by the Standard Oil Company, various healing things in natural curatives, and then, you know, make it more powerful and then sell it as a pill, right? This is the triumph of what's called, I think, the allopathic approach to medicine. A congressional investigation described the foundation as a self-serving artifice posing a menace to the future political and economic welfare of the nation. Congress repeatedly denied Rockefeller a charter. Attorney General George Wickersham denounced the foundation as a scheme for perpetuating vast wealth and entirely inconsistent with the public interest. To reassure public, politicians, and press of its benign purposes, the Rockefeller Foundation declared its ambition to eliminate hookworm, malaria, and yellow fever. The Rockefeller Sanitary Commission for the Eradication of Hookworm Disease sent teams of doctors, inspectors, and lab technicians to administer deworming medication across 11 southern states. By the way, if I'm not mistaken, what actually cured hookworm was when people started wearing shoes and not walking around chicken poop barefoot, because that's what causes hookworm. These ambassadors systematically exaggerated the medication's efficacy, glossed over its regular fatalities, and through the graces of Rockefeller's mercenary army of journalists for hire, ignited enough favorable popular interest for the foundation to justify the proposed expansion into a colonized world. The Rockefeller Foundation launched a public-private partnership. Does that sound familiar? This is what Klaus Schwab talks about a lot. A public-private partnership oops, I skipped a page, with pharmaceutical companies called the International Health Commission, which set about feverishly inoculating the hapless populations of the colonized tropics with a yellow fever jab. The vaccine killed its beneficiaries in droves and failed to prevent yellow fever. The Rockefeller Foundation quietly dropped the useless vaccine after the foundation's star researcher, the yellow fever vaccine's inventor, Hideo Noguchi, whom I take to be Japanese, succumbed to the disease, likely contracted through careless laboratory exposure. Noguchi's flexible scruples had greased his dicey experimentation on colonized volunteers, volunteers is in power quotes, and fueled his meteoric rise in the ethically barren landscapes of virology. At the time of his death, the New York District Attorney was investigating Noguchi for illegally experimenting on New York City orphans with syphilis vaccines without the consent of their legal guardians. Now, by the way, the nascent World Health Organization was spun off from an organization that was funded by the Rockefeller Foundation. So people who are into conspiracy theories, Rockefeller is one of the great boogeymen, and he really is a boogeyman, and responsible for funding an awful lot of evil and enriching himself and his family and the foundation and fellow travelers like Bill Gates and so forth. Bill Gates would later say, everywhere we went in the world, we found that the Rockefeller Foundation had already been there. Yeah, because you were basically piggybacking off of him and with the same evil agenda. Now, all of these guys were big eugenists. I assume that Mr. Kennedy, like most of his reprobate family, is pro-abortion. But if he were more Catholic in his outlook on this stuff, he would every once in a while mention eugenics and every once in a while mention population control, the population control agenda, which is definitely at work here, both in Rockefeller and in Gates. These are all from big eugenics families, and these are big population control fanatics as well, as is Dr. Fauci himself. So let me wrap up the quote, though, from Robert F. Kennedy's book, there, and say that there's more to read here as far as how the germ theory. So the germ theory got weaponized because, as you can say, well, every disease has a cause. The cause is some pathogen, some microbe, and we figure out a way to kill the microbe and we fix it. Okay, well, supposing, though, that when you figure out the thing that kills the microbe, it kills the microbe, but it also kills other things as well. Supposing it actually harms the organism, as chemotherapy does, right? The whole operative principle behind chemotherapy is we hope that we kill the cancer before we kill you, you being the person taking the chemotherapy. And those of you who've known people who've died from chemotherapy, well, you know that that hope isn't always realized. A lot of people die from the chemotherapy, and they don't survive the chemotherapy, much less the cancer. So the idea with this chemotherapy is kill the cancer before you kill the patient. So we know that these drugs, many of them, we explicitly state, doctors do anyway, that these things kill people. Yet how much consideration has been given to the larger picture here, the assumption that it's the germs that causes disease and not the terrain? In other words, a compromised immune system or just a compromised overall total health of the organism in question. Now, I think there's an awful lot of room for real science to be carried out here. In fact, a question came to mind while I was pondering these things. How much real science has been scuttled and left completely unfunded because it could not be monetized by big moneyed interests? We see what the Rockefeller Foundation did. We see what the Gates Foundation does. Bill Gates has made billions off of his seeming benefactions to humanity. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation grew and grew and grew as it, quote unquote, gave away money. Why? Because he was invested in those things he was giving away. On one hand, he was giving away. With the other hand, he was taking back by profiting obscenely. So he funds certain experiments here and so forth, but then he makes an obscene amount of money at the other end. Because anybody who knows anything about the big pharma realizes that we're talking about products whose profit margin is enormous. It's in the thousands of percent. It's not like a normal product, like a book. You know, you pay for a book to be published. You might make like 16 times the amount you actually paid. Now, an awful lot of that, I mean, paid for the publishing of the book, for the printing. Then you had to promote the book. You have to pay the author. There's all these other expenses that go into it. You don't end up with an enormous profit margin. These guys in the drug business, they make enormous profit margins, way more than most products. So how much real science, though, has been scuttled and left in the dust, left completely undeveloped because it could not be monetized by an unethical person like a Dr. Fauci or a Bill Gates or a John D. Rockefeller? How many of those actual remedies that John D. Rockefeller scientists took and attempted to synthesize and turn into pills that they could mass market, how many of those things could have been developed more and made more well known? Now, it would have meant smaller profit margins.